Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I just whipped your ass.
You
take it all away. I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm currently joined by one of my co-hosts today, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Trying to stay warm. It's ugly over here.
You guys get a little snow, and you start crying and complaining and acting like it's the end of the world, and you guys get just mad up there.
I totally agree with that. The only bad thing is it snowed about... snowed about 8 inches over at my house, and then this morning it started to, you know, shower freezing rain, and that of course knocks down power lines and tree limbs and things like that. And anyway, long story short, I've been without power since about 6 o'clock this morning. They closed my work building and because the power's out there, so I just about 10 minutes ago drove from my place in Puyallup to Port Orchard, which is about an hour west of where I live, and they got a foot of snow over here, but they have power, so therefore that's why I'm calling in. And I got here.
Okay,
I think
I'm picking up a little bit of feedback from your phone.
Yeah, it's it's my folks' line because my cell doesn't work over here, so I apologize, but.
We're just going to have to, everyone's just going to have to put up with it haphazard. I know you've been bitching about the sound quality, so you're just going to have to deal with it today. We apologize for it.
Just kind of throwing together, kind of short notice.
In fact, like the other host is stuck at work and he is running late. And he actually didn't even know about the show today until today because, when you had Facebook me about getting booked, I was on my phone, and I just assumed you were using the one that's between me, you, and Couture.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured Couture and you, and then I called them just to make sure. For some reason, I got in my head, you better call and make sure, and I'm glad I did because he had no idea because it was just a Facebook thing between me and you. But he did send in some questions to be asked, so that's no problem. And I grew up watching Buck Rock and Roll Zoom Off. I'm actually very excited and marking out for this show.
Cool.
I know probably a lot of listeners probably don't even know who I'm talking about if you weren't watching wrestling in the mid-'80s. But the man has actually done quite a few amazing things, and hopefully we will be able to, talk to him about it, which I'm sure we will. And, everything's going to be great.
I hope so. I mean, I don't know a thing about him, but, I saw him a few times on 24/7, but I booked the show and did some research, so I hope everything goes well.
Okay. And by research, I guess you mean Wikipedia?
Absolutely, because it's working today as opposed to yesterday.
Cool. And what time did you actually even tell Buck we were going
to
call?
He said as close to 7 o'clock as we could, so you could probably give him a call right now if you wanted to.
Yeah, let me do that. Let me try and do this right. Okay, go ahead and talk about Snowpocalypse, I guess, for a few
okay.
minutes, and I will be back as soon as I can.
All right. Yeah, Snowpocalypse been ugly around here. Like I said, I got sent home from work yesterday, being Tuesday, and no work today whatsoever. And power's out everywhere. There's a guy just around the corner from my place. He's got power lines in his yard, so it's really his fault that the power's out of my place. Yeah, it's ugly. Getting around in a four-wheel drive Dodge pickup, so wouldn't have made it over here if not. It's bad over here. So if you're a praying person, pray for the Alvarez Verhey Proper clan this evening, because it's ugly over here, and hopefully things will thaw out here in the next couple of days. So, you know, Proper's got to eat, you know what I mean? Put some food on the table. This is great radio, isn't it? Waiting for Ed to phone up a wrestler that hardly any of you heard about. Says that a man pled not guilty to stalking Halle Berry. Mm-hmm. I can understand why he would stalk Halle Berry. There's worse people to stalk. In other news of the day, Michael Bisbane will be fighting Chael Sonnen tomorrow night, and I am very, very excited for that. I hope Chael Sonnen puts a whooping on this man. And,
hey, Craig, go ahead and intro our guest, please.
Sure thing, Ed. Thank you. Our guest tonight has been wrestling since the early 70s. He is a NWA American Tag Team Champion twice, and he's also a three-time AWA World Lightweight Heavyweight Champion. And he's also been put in a body bag by one Undertaker. Please welcome to the show, Rock and Roll Buck Zumhoff.
Baby, hey, it's good to be here. What's going down?
Oh, not too much. Just having a night talking about wrestling, and we're very excited to talk about Mr. Rock and Roll himself. Now, Buck, you started in the AWA, and like most wrestlers who started in the AWA, a lot of them are trained by the AWA. And I know that, you were trained with Ricky Steamboat and the Super Destroyer Scott Irwin, and you were actually trained by the Iron Sheik. And I was wondering if you could talk about what that was like and just everything regarding your training to become a pro wrestler.
Okay, well, first of all, can you hear me okay? I'm talking on this little cell phone. I hope I'm coming in all right.
It sounds great, Buck.
Fantastic, yes. You know, I'm going to jump back a little bit. You don't realize that in the day, to become a professional wrestler is something you really had to strive for. You had to prove yourself. When those guys had camps, they didn't care necessarily that you paid the $2,000 or $3,000 or $5,000, what guys do nowadays, to try to make money. Back then, Vern Gagne wasn't interested in money. He wanted to make sure you could cut it, you could make it, you deserve to be a professional wrestler. And that business with the Vern Gagne's wrestling camp, it's known throughout the whole world in professional wrestling what they make you do to prepare yourself. That's right. Kazuro Baseris, he was our coach. There was 40 of us on Monday, the first Monday we had camp, including Ricky Steamboat, Buck Zumhoff, Jan Nelson, and this Scott Irwin. There was like 36 other guys. But because of what they, the 500 push-ups, we had to do 4 sets. And the 500 sit-ups, we had to do 4 sets. And knee squats and God knows what. By the first Friday, 4 days later, Jan Nelson, Buck Zumhoff, Ricky Steamboat, and Scott Irwin, we were the only 4 that were left.
Wow, that's
not
a high percentage that made it through that class.
Well, that's the problem nowadays, is that a lot of guys, they'll train in anybody, who can pay the money, and that's why we're ending up with a lot of guys in professional wrestling. I'm not saying any names because I don't know everybody, but there are tons and tons of guys and gals and God knows who, people that do not belong in professional wrestling just because they paid somebody to train them. I know guys all over Minnesota, North Minnesota, that paid somebody. They went through some kind of a bogus camp for 6 weeks. They were shown the ins and outs, but still do not have a clue how to put on a professional wrestling match, which is too bad that we have to deal with this today. But I'm on the end of my career, and I had a great and a wonderful career thanks to the thousands and thousands of people that support me and still do. So I guess there's not too much we can do about it. It's just a trend that's happening nowadays.
Now, how long does the training camp actually last, and how long was it before they actually let you guys like start having matches? And everyone, you know, knows of the Iron Sheik and know that he's a kind of a crazy character today. What was he like back then?
Well, he was just as crazy then, and you have to remember back then he was younger. So, you know, if we would get tired out or we couldn't do any more push-ups or any more sit-ups, he'd get on the ground, he'd get on the floor, and he'd pump out 100 sit-ups or 200 sit-ups right there in front of us. And he says, hey, you know, back then we were 22, 23 years old. He was probably around close to his 30s. Well, he was a young man. So here he's getting down and showing us young punks that a guy at his age can still wrap off these sit-ups and push-ups and all this crazy stuff. Well, we should be able to do it too. One of the advantages now is he's an old man. He's still, you know, he's still good. You can't take it away from him. But back in those days, we had to not only do all these crazy workouts, but we had to compete with him. And you know, he was a great Olympic wrestler and all that other stuff. So you bet it was tough. And they, like I said before, they didn't care. If you don't keep up, you can't do the push-ups, you can't do the sit-ups, then you're eliminated. You're kicked out. It's a done deal. Hey, thanks for coming down for trying it, blah, blah, blah. You're down the road. And being with that Sheik and that crazy Cosro back then, we had to stick it out, and we had to fight for our lives practically. Back to the question, I'm sorry. 12 weeks, that's right. And the first day we did, you know, like all these crazy sit-ups and all these crazy working out, and we did that every day. Even like the last week, we'd still work out 4 hours and then spend about 2 hours in the ring. We never got a break. We never got a cut. We took 20 minutes at 12 o'clock to 12:20. We were so happy to lay on the ring or lay on the floor, on the ground, anywhere, so we could rest a little bit. And then, you know, we'd have a little water between 12 and 12:20, and then we'd hack back at it again until about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We started about 9:30 in the morning. This was the most worst, hardest, unbelievable ordeal that I have ever done in my whole entire life.
Well, I guess it was worth it because you've had quite a long career, and like Ricky Steamboat also had a long career. And
yep.
Unfortunately,
well, the only difference between me and a lot of guys is that I wrestle 140 times a year still. What? And usually on my shows, I'll wrestle an opening match, 10-15 minute match. And I usually come back in the same night in a battle royal situation, or I'll wrestle like in a six-man tag. I thank God in heaven I'm in great shape still. I got myself a workout binge here this last 3 months. I've lost 30 pounds. I'm back to 210 pounds from 240 pounds. I went to Hawaii for a couple weeks. I got some color. I seen Adnan LKC. I'm 61 years old. I'm 210 pounds, got a suntan, I got my abs back, never felt better, never looked as good, so I'm happier than heck.
Good on you, bro.
Wow, I didn't realize you were 61.
Yeah, most people don't know that. But you got to remember, I started just a couple of years. I started 2 years after Ric Flair, Greg Gagne, and Jim Brunzel. So all of them guys are like a couple of years older than I am. But none of them wrestle neither anymore.
And you've been in the business for over 40 years.
Every once in a while.
Who's that?
Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah, Rick shows up every once in a while, yep. I'd still like to have a match with him one time yet before I retire.
I'm sure it'd be a good one.
I doubt it. He won't wrestle me anymore. I've seen him up in Duluth. And, I see him in Duluth, and, the time is finally catching up with him a little bit.
That's good. Now, after the camp, you had quite a successful run as the AWA World Light Heavyweight Champion, and I think your main opponent at the time was Steve Regal, and not the Steve Regal that's in the WWE at the current moment, but a gentleman that went by the name of Mr. Electricity. And could you talk about that feud, and what was it like to win an actual world title at a time when world titles really, really meant something in the business?
Well, you see, you kind of caught me in the middle there, because in 1977 and 1978, which is about 2 years before the Steve Regal thing, Bill Francis and I, we beat Steve Strong and Jesse the Body in Honolulu, Hawaii in 1978. So Bill Francis and Rock and Roll Buck Sumoff, we were the Hawaiian state champions for about a year there. But like I said, back then you didn't get a lot of television coverage. Plus, in 1977, I held a tag, Gamma Singh and Buck Sumoff. We were the tag team champions up in Vancouver, British Columbia for about a year. And then after all of that, then I came back to Vern Gagne in 1980, and that's when Mike Graham and this electricity guy, Steve Regal, and Buck Sumoff, we kind of had this three-way thing going. Mike Graham, he'd beat Steve Regal, and then I would beat Mike Graham, and then Steve Regal, he'd get the belt, cheat, steal it back from me, and then I'd get it back from him, and Mike Graham got it back from me. So there was this kind of a three-way thing going on for quite a few years, but finally when it was all said and done, I ended up with the championship belt, and right before that I wrestled this Stewart guy, and then the AWA went under, so Stewart wrestled me the last time that, I can't remember what his first name was.
Johnny
Stewart, that's it. Johnny Stewart and I had the last match together. I beat him right here in Minnesota, and then I more or less retired with the belt because there wasn't any more AWA. It kind of went under right after that, which was unfortunate, but that's... Yeah, you were right, though, about the cruiserweight thing. Steve Regal and I had it out, every once in a while, this Mike Graham would come into the picture. So it was a pretty good time. We made a lot of money and did good.
Well, Craig, you want to ask a question?
Yes, please. You've wrestled all over the place and wrestled for a number of promoters, Al Tomko in Vancouver, Don Owens in Portland, even Giant Baba in Japan. Which promoter treated you the best?
I can't say nothing really bad, because most of the time, especially Japan, everything was written up, your contracts, your money, where you were going to go, what you were going to do. So I would say Japan was the best as far as organization. You know, you went there, even if you didn't see the Giant Baba or you didn't talk to anybody, the bus rides were always there, the hotels were always there, everything was professionally done, so that was a fun time, and the money was always there, so that was a good thing. Okay, let's stop right there. Don Owens was a good guy, never argued with him about the money, he always paid you fair, and so that was a good deal. Texas was a funny thing. I was there for 2 years, not quite 2 years, and I seen old man Fritz like twice. I only seen him twice while I was there for 2 years. I seen him at that big show at the Texas Stadium where the Von Erich kid wrestled Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
And then Iceman King Parson and I, we beat the Long Riders for the Texas belts. I seen him there. And I seen old man Fitz one other time, like in the office at the Sportatorium. But the money was always there. I didn't necessarily, I liked the Von Erich, you know, Kevin is a good guy. Kerry, well, you know, he was kind of running the show along with that Ken Mantell. I had nothing personal against Ken Mantell. As a matter of fact, I just emailed them the other night because they're having some kind of a Texas reunion or something coming up. I didn't know anything about it. I wish I would have. I'd have made arrangements to go down there, but I'll probably go next year if I feel like it.
Speaking
and then
of
now Vern Gagne, of course. I personally had nothing against Vern Gagne. Vern Gagne paid very good. I never ever had I never got a check that bounced. All the money was always there. Plane tickets were always there. Hotels and everything was always professionally done, so I never had a problem with him. I worked for Vince many, many times. Vince would always take care of the trance or plane tickets, paid for hotels, always paid us on time, so I never really had a problem with him. So to tell you the truth, every promoter that I, well, Jerry Lawler, he still owes me for a half a dozen shows yet. He stiffed me a little bit, but that was a long time ago. But most of the time when I came into the territory, it was a kind of a handshake over the telephone. This is what we're going to do. And most of them, you know, stuck by their word. And I was taken care of properly the way it was written up, the way it was talked about on the telephone. So, no, I really don't have any griefs with any promotion actually at all.
Very cool. Speaking of the Von Erichs, what are your thoughts on the way that family fell from such great heights?
Well, I'm more sympathetic maybe than most people. Then again, I'm a Christian. I do believe in God, so that makes a difference. Some people who don't, you know, they just go, oh, well, oh, what? I think losing something so valuable and so important in your life causes something like, you know, something like this to happen. The Von Erichs had, like you'd say, they had a dynasty, you might say. The old man was the boss, okay? And he handed down the dynasty. He handed down this business. And he preached this business. You know what the Von Erichs did at supper time? They sat around the table and they talked wrestling. When they went on a vacation and they were sitting in the boat, they talked wrestling. When they went out to a wedding anniversary or somebody's birthday, they talked wrestling. That's what they are. Now, all of a sudden, it was all taken away from them.
Right.
Or from, you know, Vince took it all. And now he worked for Vince. Vince promised him all this stuff when he worked for Vince, 3 years maybe. And then he came back to Texas, and what did he have? Nothing.
Yeah.
So he had to look at himself. Here I am. I'm a Von Erich. I don't want to use the word God, but they were God in Texas. You couldn't go to a gas station or a hotel or a beer joint without those people. They know who the Von Erichs were. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in San Antonio, Texas, so I know all about that.
You bet. And so here, they lost their wrestling. I think his personal life went down the toilet, too. So how many times, even in our lives, we have a personal, you know, a lot of the boys, they go through a horrible divorce and their wife takes half of what they got. They lose their kids. They lose sight of what's happening. So suicide is the only answer. That's the only way out. And I hate to say that, but that's kind of what happened to the Von Erichs. They couldn't see. There just wasn't another road. They didn't know what to do, so that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Horse shit, but that's the way it, you know, that's the way it was.
Yeah. Now, speaking of old class, I mentioned earlier you had a team with the Iceman King Parsons, and you guys were multiple-time tag team champions. And what was it like teaming with the Iceman? And how did you enjoy your run in Texas? And what was it like traveling in Texas, since it's such a big state compared to other ones?
Right. Well, I really enjoyed Texas. Actually, I love it down there. The climate was always great. We did get a little bit of snow, but not like in Minnesota. The idea, I think, with Iceman, black guy, Buck Sumoff, a white guy, I think it was a great combination because, you know, we mix with the people. I don't have any problem with black people or American or Indians or Tito Santana, the Spanish people, I love all people. I could care less. And I really, really think that the black fans and all of them down in Texas, even in Minnesota here, they love me. Because I carry that boombox around. I'm rock and roll, Buck Sumoff. I love you, brother, and I'm going to party. It didn't matter to me. It still doesn't matter to me. I'm pretty open guy to just about anything. And Iceman, you know, he did that We Are Family. That was his song. Him and I were salt and pepper or whatever you want to call it, black and white. We loved all our fans. The fans knew we appreciated them coming down. So it was a hell of a ride for me. I was there for 2 years, and it was one of the best times I've ever had. You know, I mean, as far as wrestling, and I, like I said, you know, I've traveled all over the place, and I love Texas. Like I said before, I talked to that Mantell. I'd sure love to come down there for a week or so again, and, you know, just see the wrestlers and party down and drink some Lone Star beer. What do you say?
Now, you just mentioned the boombox. That's one of the things you're very well known for, is coming to the ring with a big giant boombox over your shoulder. And I was wondering, how did that come about? And is it also true that Vern didn't actually let you listen to rock and roll music while you came to the ring with it?
When I started, when I came back from Hawaii, Ed Francis talked good about my gimmick, and he told it to Vern, but Vern is old school, and he thought I was nuts. So when I came back to Minneapolis, I went to the office, and I brought the suit and all this stuff to the office. And I told Vern Gagne, you have to remember, you got to handle this with kid gloves. You just don't holler at Vern Gagne. So I said, Mr. Gagne, this is what I do, and I will explain it to you. When Wahoo McDaniels gets beat up, and he gets beat up, and he gets beat up, Wahoo McDaniels does a war dance. He does a war dance. Woo, woo, woo. And he shakes that hand of his for that big tomahawk chop. You with me?
Yes.
Yep.
And I told Vern, the villain, he beats me up. He beats me up. He beats me up. Now, I don't do a war dance. I do a rock and roll dance. I do the twist, or I do shimmy shimmy, or I don't know what I do. I jump around like I'm dancing. And when I start to dance, same as Wahoo's war dance, the people know that Buck Sumoff had enough, and I'm going to make my comeback, and I'm going to kick his booty, and we're going to take it home. And when I explained it to him in that type of fashion, he said, okay. Now, that was the dance part. The radio didn't come about right away. That was about a little bit later on when Vern came to me and he said, well, you know, kid, you ought to have music. So I brought the big boombox to the television station, okay? You'll like this story. I'm standing next to Gene Okerlund, and I got the big boombox on the floor. And I put on my old-time rock and roll, Bob Seger, been playing that song for 30 years. Then I jump into the screen, and I go, hey, rock and roll. But you cannot hear the music because the music's on the floor. So we did a retake, and I turned the radio on full blast, but the radio was still down by my feet. And they still couldn't pick it up on the microphone. So the third take, I took that stupid-ass radio, I put it on my shoulders, and the rest is history. It's the truth. 3 months later, Bobby Heenan and Duncombe and Ken Patera busted my radio on television, and all of a sudden I was an opening wrestler. I was kind of a tag team mixeroony, and after they busted that radio, I jumped up into the mainstream of professional wrestling, and I've been there ever since.
Now, speaking of Bobby Heenan, that reminds me, you actually were one of the few guys who actually got to put Bobby Heenan in the Weasel suit.
That's right. Yeah, I put him in the. Well, we had several different matches. You got to remember, Vern's territory was huge back then. So I beat him up in Winnipeg. The Winnipeg Weasel suit match is actually on my YouTube site. You can actually see it. Buck Sumoff. You type in Buck Sumoff 51, on the YouTube. You can see a lot of my old matches from the AWA days on the YouTube, Buck Zumhoff 51. Then you can see the matches, and I'm putting more and more matches on there all the time. You remember the TV matches that Vern Gagne used to have with the Milwaukee guys and the Canadian guys and all them extras we used to use?
Most of the AWA I saw was when they were on ESPN.
No, I'm way before that. The stuff you're seeing on my channel on Buck Zumhoff 51 is before ESPN. It's when we wrestle in the television station, Channel 11, right in Minneapolis.
Wow. Okay.
This is some old stuff, boy, I tell you. I was just a kid.
Now, Bobby Heenan, a lot of people don't know this, but when Bobby Heenan was younger, he was actually quite a wrestler and an awesome bump taker.
Bobby Heenan was probably one of the best workers in the business, but he had the gift. You know, he could talk. You know, the old joke, he could sell snowman ice. You know, he was excellent on the microphone. Well, Vince McMahon obviously knew that, and he took that talent, you know, and they ran it 100%. That's how Bobby Heenan made all his money. It's just that he knew how to get on there and edge up the people and get them mad and get them hot. And he was the best. I love Bobby. I hear he's not doing well. He has throat cancer. I pray for him that he hangs in there a while. Yet he's in really, really tough shape, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead, Kurt.
In 1986 at Wrestle Rock, you got to wrestle Tiger Mask, who was Misawa at the time. Do you remember much about that match and your thoughts on Misawa?
Well, yeah. You see, it was a money thing. I hate to say that. I only live about 40 minutes from Minneapolis. So I called Greg up, and Greg said, I asked Greg, well, how come I'm not on this show? He said, well, he was kind to me. You know, he wanted to keep my reputation. I'm trying to make it sound good. He wanted to keep my winning streak and my reputation, my winning streak. He wanted to kind of keep it in line, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So then he said the only guy that possibly could wrestle is the Japanese guy. But I'm going to tell him, who cares now? It doesn't matter. They wanted somebody to make him look good, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
So I said, well, what's the numbers we're looking at? And they gave me like $700 or $800 for me to go in there and have a really, really good match with him and make him shine. So that match had really nothing to do with me. I was there to make him look good, and I was there only for a payoff. It had nothing to do with the Cruiserweight Championship. It had nothing to do with my radio. It actually had nothing to do with me at all. It was supposed to make him look good and do what I was and you know do it for, do what had to be done for the money. That's what that was all about.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't need to go any further.
Fair enough. You were also there in the AWA when Hogan jumped to the WWF. Was there a lot of tension at that time?
Well, yes and no. You see, I was just finishing up in Texas, and then when I came back, I thought I was going to – that's when that Stewart business was supposed to take off. Him and that Johnny Stewart and I were going to start the Cruiserweight thing all over again, and Hulk Hogan just left, and Vern Gagne was sweating bullets here because we were losing the audiences in Chicago, Milwaukee, Green Bay, Denver, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Didn't matter wherever Vern went because Vince McMahon did that on purpose. Let me say it again. Vince McMahon did it on purpose. He went to the same identical towns that Vern was going to on purpose to choke Vern Gagne, and that's what they did. I mean, that's just business. That's the way it is. So when I got back from Texas and started wrestling again with Vern, you could see the writing was on the wall already. So I didn't get to see a lot of the fire and a lot of the action that was going on because I wasn't here.
Gotcha.
Right. And then in 1988, 89, 90, at that time, I actually bought myself a nightclub because I was wrestling for Vern kind of on a part-time basis. So I'd wrestle two nights here and two nights there, and so I wasn't wrestling three, four nights a week like we used to. So I bought a nightclub, and I was in the nightclub business for 3 or 4 years, and well, that's another story. But then I wrestled part-time for a few years, running these nightclubs and all this kind of stuff until like 12 years ago when I started running rock and roll wrestling. That's what I do now. I run my own wrestling. I think most people know that.
Cool. Okay.
Now, regarding that second stint in the AWA, and if you don't want to talk about that, this is fine. But your reign as champion was kind of interrupted, and I was wondering if you would be willing to talk about that.
Well, yeah. Well, what would happen was because it looked like AWA, well, it did go down. It finally was going down, and I got into the bar business, and then. I was running I had a couple of them going on at the same time, and I was married, and I caught my wife having an affair with her boyfriend, so I beat them both up. That was 22 years ago, so I had to do a little time for the state of Minnesota, so I was out of whack for about a year. Then after that, we opened up the bars and started over again. The guy I beat up and his old lady, I haven't seen any of them in 20 years, so God bless them.
Okay. Now, the AWA, like as you said, was starting to go down at this point, and it's kind of sad because it was actually it was right there with the WWF and NWA, and made lots of money for a long time, and it kind of went down almost kind of embarrassingly with the Team Challenge Series, and just it was kind of a mess. What were your thoughts on those last few dying days of the AWA?
Well, I feel bad about it because I still believe what Vern Gagne was trying to do, and he was trying to make it like professional football where you had these two or three different leagues. You could have had the AWA, for an example, NWA, I don't know, I'm just making this up, and then the WWF. So you could have had three different offices, okay? And at the end of the year, you could have had these big tournaments for the champion of champions. I'm just making this up. Ric Flair, he could have been the champion of one of these organizations. Nick Bockwinkel, he could have been a champion of one of these organizations. And Hulk Hogan, he could have been a champion of one of the organizations. Then every year, they could have brought these three champions together for what you'd call the big playoff. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the territories would have stayed. And then guys would have somewhere to go to wrestle, where nowadays they don't have that anymore. That's why we got hundreds and hundreds of wrestlers who have no place to go. My phone rings off the hook every week from guys that were trained from somebody who I never heard of. Secondly, I've never heard of these guys that are calling me, but they're all dying to wrestle somewhere because you know, they got trained someplace and they think they can do this crap, and 9 times out of 10 they can't anyway.
Speaking of that, what do you think is missing from a lot of the indie workers today? I noticed there's a huge lack of psychology from
right.
the olden days. What do you think is the problem there?
Well, it's not really that tough if you think about it. I like to believe the few, not many, the few that I have trained, I believe are very good. But they'll train in one of their friends using Buck Zumoff's technique.
Okay,
now that's the third one. Now, a year or two from now, he's going to train in somebody. Now, he's using the technique that guy showed him, which that guy learned from somebody else, which that guy learned from me. So about the third or fourth guy who's being taught by this guy, they're not getting the Buck Zumoff technique anymore. They're getting something that was pretty close to it, or maybe, or almost. So that's why the guys that really can do this stuff, I like to brag about myself. Yes, I can do this stuff. Ricky Steamboat can do this stuff. Ric Flair can do this stuff. Tons and tons of the old-timers can do this stuff, but there are very, very, very few guys today that know how to put on a wrestling match. And that's because of the hand-me-down thing.
Makes sense.
Now you actually wrestled quite a bit in Craig's neck of the woods in Portland for Don mm-hmm. Owen. And did you know any of the how well did you know Buddy Rose? And are you familiar with Buddy Wayne?
Buddy Lane.
Buddy Lane.
Yeah, Lenny Lane's kind of a local celebrity here in Minneapolis. He ran for the NWA. What was it called before they went under? Not NWA, WCW maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I was saying Wayne with the W.
Okay, but anyway, yeah, I know him, but I have some guys that, like I said before, I have a couple of guys who I personally trained with the help of, believe it or not, with the help of Greg Gagne. Because the reason I trained these guys is because they were very family-like. I trained a handful of guys, and they have been with me for the last 4 or 5 years, and they haven't had a weekend off, unless, of course, they go to a wedding or a funeral or something like that. These are my boys. We are old school. These guys wrestle for me every weekend. We haven't had a weekend off. We're starting our 13th year. We haven't had a weekend off. I need loyal guys. I can't afford to call up somebody that may stiff me. I got their pictures on the posters. They got to be there. I've got a handful of girls. I got a handful of midgets. And a handful of guys that I use every month, and they're my boys, and they're very loyal, and that's why I have got nothing against anybody else or anything anybody else does. This is what I do. Nothing personal against anybody else.
Now, after the AWA in Texas, you did move to the WWF. And when you were at Texas in the AWA, you were a prominent member, having prominent matches and prominent feuds. But when you went to the WWE, I guess the term today would be enhancement talent. You were, I guess, at the time considered enhancement talent. And
right.
I was wondering how much did that affect you going from being like in main events and getting to do whatever you wanted in the match to
right.
where you were strictly just there to make guys look good.
That's what I was doing. Well, actually, I was kind of proud of it because, they just didn't get anybody. I made The Undertaker look good. I made Triple H look good. I made Zumo, that big Zumo wrestler, I made him look good. I made them all look good. And that's okay because I never looked at it any way other than this is a business. I went there and I sat at the table with these guys. I had drinks with these guys. We told jokes. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of like the only one that had stories to tell. None of these guys ever been anywhere. They'd never driven they never drove the road on the road like we used to night and day. When I was in Portland, we wrestled 4 months. We wrestled 4 months every night. And then we had a couple of nights off, then we ran another month or so. There's a lot of the boys that will never, ever experience that. Now you think, wow, that's nuts or that's crazy. Not really. As a matter of fact, it's probably one of the most fun times we've ever had. Wrestle every night, stay at some hotel, go to a beach or a lake, a wayside lake somewhere, lay out in the sun during the day. Of course, there was girls, so we partied all the time. So it was it was the greatest time of my life, actually. But anyway, back to what you were saying, I didn't look at it. And then again, I'm looking at my age. You know, when I was an extra, and I was making these other guys look good. You know, I was over 40 years old then already, So here I am, 42, 43, 44 years old, and I'm putting these 27-year-old guys, making them look good. So I think I looked at it more like a feather in my hat, and I'm still out here doing this stuff and making money, so I'm pretty proud about it. Instead of being disappointed, I think I did all right.
Oh, that's a good attitude to have. Unfortunately, some people walk away bitter, but it seems like you don't have anything bad to say about the wrestling business at all.
I love this. I always make a joke about it. I never, ever should have gotten married. I'm married to this business. It's all I do. I still sit on the phone 3 days a week from morning to night, book shows every weekend. I have a team of guys. We have to go out and repair the wrestling ring every now and then. Ropes have to be repaired. Pipes and boards get busted and broken. I do all that. I have two big ring trucks. I have five rings. All this stuff has got to be serviced and looked after, and I do all of that too. So, like I said before, I love this stuff. Otherwise, I'd have given up a long time ago. And I'm, like I said, I'm going to be 62 a year from now, and I have no plans of retiring or anything. I may stop wrestling or not wrestle as much, but as far as promoting, I'll probably promote it until I drop over dead, you know.
go ahead, Craig.
Goodness. When you were in the ring with Triple H the very first time, could you see him becoming as big as he is right now?
Not me, because whoever, I don't think it was Vince, you know, but they got these go-between guys. Somebody came to me, Sergeant Jacques Goulet or somebody, and said, do you want to work at Triple H? I said, I don't care. And they said, well, this is what we want. And I said, I don't care. Can you hear me now? I didn't know Triple H from the Man in the Moon, so there.
Right.
I don't watch wrestling on television. I don't watch the WWF. I don't watch TNA. I don't hardly even know any of the guys anymore. I don't know any of the angles. I don't know nothing about it. So when they told me to wrestle Triple H, I could have been wrestling Kenny J. It didn't make no difference to me. It was just somebody to wrestle. And that's the honest to God truth.
Fair enough.
Now, what were your thoughts when they told you about doing the body bag at angle with The Undertaker on TV?
Same thing. No, I remember The Undertaker, he used to work for Lawler, I guess, right?
He worked for Lawler, he worked for Texas for a short bit.
Right, so I kind of knew him, and I knew what the payoff was, so why not? I couldn't care less. I guess the only thing I was concerned about is that I consider myself a ring veteran. I've never broken anybody's arm, or I've never broken a leg. I never split anybody open in my whole career. I've never done any of that stuff. So I guess the most important thing is when I'm wrestling these big clutches, I'm always afraid they're going to hurt me. So I kind of go out there, you know, a little bit with a little shooting in the back of my mind. You know, if they're going to tie me up or twist me, I'll say, hey, I did not make it, but I did try for the 1972 Olympics. I have wrestled since I was in, like, third grade. So I never, ever had to turn to any tactics, but in the back of your mind, you're wrestling these big goofs, and, you know, they want to look good, and you don't know exactly what they're going to do. So I've always had that little protection in the back of my mind. I trained with Billy Robinson, you know, 1 year before I became a professional wrestler. He taught me a lot of nasty stuff. I never had to do it. I hope I never will. But if I have to, at 61 years old, if I have to tie up somebody, I'll still do it today. Thank you very much.
Cool. Well, Falk, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. I've really enjoyed it. But before you go, I very much want to give you a chance to plug your websites, your wrestling organization, and anything you'd like to plug.
Sorry, give me the website and everything here. Okay. You can see all kinds of stuff on Buck, B-U-C-K, Zumhoff, Z-U-M-H-O-F-E, 51. That's on the YouTube, and you can see some of our old wrestling, and we're putting new stuff on it every week. I don't know, this is really nuts, but if you know anybody, anywhere, that wants to put on midgets, ladies, guys, good guys, bad guys, entertainment show, Buck Zumhoff, 320-795-2969. We've got the ring, and we got the bell, and lights, and sound, and midgets, and girls, and guys, and the whole nine yards.
Oh my!
And what was the other one here? Facebook. If you go into the Facebook, you go Buck Zumhoff, upcoming shows. You go on the Facebook, Buck Zumhoff, upcoming shows, And you can see all the shows and stuff there. And what's our mailing thing here then? Okay. Rock and Roll Wrestling at Yahoo. Rock and Roll Wrestling at Yahoo.com.
Okay.
I think that should cover it.
What about your YouTube? You mentioned your YouTube channel earlier.
Okay, what was the YouTube? Isn't that done now yet? Or what? Buck Zumhoff 51.
51. Okay, cool.
Yep.
We'll
B-U-C, go. Yep, that's the year I was born. Buck Zumhoff 51. And once you get on that site, you can see those AWA matches. And I do interviews right out of my living room. What I do is I talk about the show you're going to see. I kind of like bring it up so you know what's going on a little bit. It's kind of fun. You'll enjoy it.
Cool. Well, I'll definitely be checking that out soon. And Buck, once again, thank you so much for your time.
Well, I want to thank you guys for having me. I could tell you stories till the cows come home. I've been in this game for almost 40 years. Thank God I've still got good health. And I've done the Germany thing, and I've done the Japan thing. I've traveled all over the world. So I've been very, very fortunate. I guess I owe that all to wrestling and God above. So thank you, guys, and God bless you.
Thank you, Buck. Have a good night.
Hello?
Wow, 61 at full energy.
Hey, just going to be on the Internet?
Yes, sir.
We're actually live, but we will be on the Internet, and I'll send you a link on your Facebook.
Okay, good. And then we'll record it up on here, and then we'll have it on here. Okay, guys, thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
You bet. Bye.
Bye-bye.
61 and full of energy.
Yeah, it's good to hear, because, you know, a lot of guys his age are quite bitter, you know? And he's full of energy and still loves what he does, and 61, and he's still wrestling multiple times in the weekend. I mean,
you
got to give the guy credit, man. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of 61-year-old guys who used to wrestle who would still want to wrestle, but who absolutely in no shape or way form can.
Yeah, that's true, man. I mean, I've been in locker rooms with, like, people like Jerry Morrow, and I wouldn't say a bad word about him, but the road has owned men that are that old, and he was very much full of life, and it's good to hear an old-timer not hate the business.
Yeah, and he was actually quite good. Like I said, I saw most of his, well, not all of his debut. Obviously, I missed the 70s part. But, I mean, him and Steve Regal, and like I say, it's not Steve Regal from WWE. It's a guy who was kind of, he reminded me of Stan Lane from the Midnight Express. And they had, like, really, really good, I can't say, like, high-flying matches compared to today's high-flying matches. They really weren't super high flyers, but they, at that time, it was different. They were a faster pace. They did things that were, you know, it might sound absurd, but at the time, monkey flips and head scissors and stuff like that was kind of unique and actually, like, ahead of its time at the time, you know, I mean, as absurd as it sounds by today's standards, but, I mean, he was quite good. Him and Iceman King Parsons were a very underrated tag team. I mean, they were over just as much as the Von Erichs, or just, you know, right under the Von Erichs, and just a great ring intro. They really meshed well coming out to, like, the Iceman's music. And you know, he had one of the first gimmicks in the 80s where he had his big boom box and big giant thing. I meant to ask him if he ever thought of switching to an iPod so at 61 he wouldn't have to carry so much weight. But but yeah, I enjoyed the interview and I thought it went very well. And I thought that was pretty cool. And I think our other co-host is now on the line, so let me put him on the line. Couture, are you there?
Yeah, I started listening about 15 minutes ago, and I thought y'all had done something wrong because he was yelling.
Before I got on the line, he was very worried about his phone not, being able to hear it because it was on the cell phone. So I think he wanted to make sure everyone could hear him. But he was very excited.
I thought he was cutting a promo the whole time.
Couture, you seen a little. Well, I know Craig's only seen his enhancement deals in WWF, but I know you've probably seen some of his world class and maybe a little AWA. What did you think of Buck Zumhoff as a worker? And as
he was a good worker. I like the gimmick. It's just Mm-hmm. In later years, it got to be really funny, just because, you know,
right.
Get older, still got boom boxes. No.
Yeah. It has an awesome jumpsuit. He had like an Elvis style kind of a jumpsuit. Not as fancy as Elvis, but yeah, he had like a cool reach. I mean, he was cool. I thought he was super cool, and it actually hurt me deep inside to see him be a job guy. Like when I saw him and Scott Casey and Les Thornton and Mr. Wrestling 2 have to do jobs in WWE and WWF at the time, it literally hurt me inside.
I just saw him maybe 2-3 months ago on WWE 24/7. He was wrestling Bockwinkle, and I'm sure the spot was, you know, hey, missed the drop kick, but he threw this drop kick and it looked so ridiculous, and you couldn't help but laugh. I mean, it was so incredibly done. You know what I mean? He was supposed to miss it, so he made it look so great. And Brian and myself and Vince, we rewound the thing and watched it over and over and over again. He was just incredible. And that's actually the first time I've seen the guy. And, you know, it was a few months ago, and I did do some research for this show. But, yeah, decent guy.
Good thing Wikipedia was back up today.
Oh, jeez.
What was up with that? I kept reading on Facebook that Wikipedia was down and it has something to do with like two laws they're trying to pass.
Of, anti-copyright, some kind of copyright bill that's trying to get passed or something that'll like fuck the whole internet up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of these websites protested this and went dark yesterday.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, yeah. I'm glad everything's back to normal then. So Katrina, what's going on with you? How are you surviving the apocalypse?
I'm surviving fine. We don't have enough.
It's just me.
Yeah. I can deal with any kind of weather, but like Craig, you know, I can't deal with power being out. That's just that's just the worst thing in the world.
At least when it's cold and the power goes out, you can take your food into the garage or outside.
Right. And I did that before I left my house.
If the power goes out in the summer or something, shit, you burn up. At least if you have wintertime, it's kind of easy to stay warm. But
well, I hate losing my power so much that I got in my truck and I drove an hour in a foot of snow to where there was power. So, you know what I mean? I need to keep my family warm, and of course, you know, we get here and it's warm, and the first thing my son wants to do is go play in a full foot of snow. So, you know, what
that's
are you going to do?
You know,
we can get
like,
snow here every year, like I moved here. We haven't got any this year yet, though. So.
Really? But last year over here, we got like a very minimal amount of snow, and I actually posted pictures, and Lance Storm was. They were very amusing to see the snowstorm, the San Francisco snowstorm compared to what he had been dealing with. But I actually, believe it or not, I still had to deliver the tapes, the newspapers that night. And somehow, thankfully, my Jeep didn't give me any problems whatsoever. Maybe like on a few little turns, I slid just a tiny bit. But it was actually, I didn't actually understand what the big, to me it seemed like, you know, it was kind of overhyped how hard it was to drive on ice, but I guess because I just had a good Jeep. But when I was a kid, and I believe this would be the year that the Chicago Bears beat the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl shuffle and all that, we actually had a severe snowstorm where we got 12 inches. And I just remember the whole city shut down for like half a week, and there must have been a million wrecks that in a couple of days.
They said today on the news that yesterday when it started snowing, or when it started snowing hard the day before yesterday, there was actually like 50 wrecks on I-5. Well, today when I finally got some power over my folks' house, they were saying it was up to like 1,300 wrecks just on this one stretch of highway between Everett and Seattle, or Everett and Tacoma. And we're just not prepared for this, you know. There was somebody in the LA Times or one of the LA newspapers wrote that we are snow wimps, and I fully, totally agree. Seattle is totally unequipped for snow. We don't have snow plows. We don't have de-icers. I mean, we do, but it's so minimal. But, you know, heck, the power went out this morning at 6, and they were talking there was 200,000 people without power, and they're just not going to get to where it's broke, you know?
And another thing that causes problems for your ad is you're not centralized. You
no.
live in a suburb. Brian lives in a
yep.
suburb. Granny lives in a suburb.
Yep.
You know, it's not like, you know, it's very spread out and not like, you know, just one big city. It's more like a big city surrounded by
yes.
100 little ones. And
right.
that doesn't help. But what kind of like we're even probably worse prepared because, you know, we don't even get it. So when it's even a hint that it's going to the weather, that the temperature is going to hit freezing, if there's even
mm-hmm.
a hint that it's going to hit freezing and there's any, what do you call it, chance of rain, they just
right.
shut the highway down. You know, you can't even get on the highway. You got to maneuver through the side roads and everything, and they, you know, they'll drop all the cat litter or whatever it is that they
yeah.
put on the bridges and stuff. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, if there's just a hint, they shut it down.
Not to mention, a lot of you people in Chicago and New York make fun of us here in Seattle, but we have these things called hills. And I know you guys in Texas don't know exactly what I'm talking about, but they're actually elevated places in the land where you actually have to go up. And we have lots of them here. And when you're when you got some little lady who's trying to, you know, get cat food, going to the store, and she gets to one of these hills, she doesn't have any idea what she's doing. You know, they actually have to close the streets, and it's absolutely insane. So it's supposed to start raining hopefully tomorrow evening. So we're going to gut it out one more day and hopefully go from there. I feel really bad for my brother because he was leaving on his 10-year anniversary. His 10-year anniversary is today, and he was supposed to go to I can't even remember. Anyway, he was supposed to get on a plane and go someplace warm, and they shut down all 3 runways at SeaTac Airport, so he couldn't get out of the state. So I feel bad for him.
Oh, that's good.
Here's a good
yeah.
weather story. When I was living in Louisiana, I guess it was like 7-8 years ago, me and a friend of mine rented a house, like it was down on the bayou, and it was in a bad flooding area. So we had a big-ass rain. It rained for a long time, and the water got right up to the porch. Like, the entire house was covered with water. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I had to park like a half a mile down the road and then put on hip waders just so I could get to the house. Like those, like duck hunters do, you know, when they put
yeah.
those waders on.
Yeah.
So we had to walk through all the water, and I was just worried that it was going to go up any higher, and, you know, it was going to fuck shit up in the house, but luckily it didn't. So, but that was
I've been worried about fucking alligators and crocodiles swimming right next
yeah,
to you
no
and
doubt.
Fucking fighting me.
Hey, I got to miss work one day because I didn't have no hip waders. I couldn't get to the car.
Yeah, this will be day number 2. Tomorrow will be the second day in a row I haven't worked. There's no power at my shop. It's hard to run big machinery when there's no power there.
You got to go
yeah,
invest
I
in a generator or something when stuff like that happens.
It's going to take a big generator to run that place.
Well, I mean, your house.
Yeah. Well, my neighbor actually offered. He was going to spend the night with his old man over at the rest home. And he offered his generator to me, but I was already, you know, had the truck warmed up. And hey, man, I really appreciate it, but we're getting the heck out of here.
Those things run so loud, I'd be worried half the neighborhood would be mad at me for.
Yeah, no
much.
Doubt. Plus, yeah, right. You'd be that guy who has power, you know. Everybody else doesn't have power. Oh, that son of a gun, he's got power.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we've talked about the weather long enough. Let's talk about a little
so
current wrestling here. Is there any news or anything big news we want to get into? I'll make sure.
Well, how about your buddy's little buddy got popped again?
Yeah, well, there's... All I can say is the dude's not happy, and he could possibly be looking for a way out. And that's all I'm going to say about
out.
It. And it's not just that he's actually having, I can't get into it. He's not at a good place right now.
I'd love to see that guy on ROH, man.
ROH? be happy to see him on TNA. I'd just be happy to see him wrestling. He's a young guy with a long career ahead of him, and hopefully yeah. he'll get everything straightened out in his life and personal life and everything. And you know, hopefully, you know, he'll overcome, and hopefully he won't be a guy like a Johnny Jeter, who, you know, loved the business and they drove it out of him. And, you know, and that's just one of many, many people that they've done this to. So, you know, hopefully he will bounce back, and hopefully he will get over it. And the only advice I can give him is quit smoking the fake shit that gets you suspended and just smoke the real shit that's way better and just pay the fine.
I see.
And I say that to all the wrestlers. Stop smoking that fake shit. It's not good for you.
I was happy to see that they changed one of the UFC fights for next week to Chael Sonnen versus Michael Bisping. I talked about this while you were calling Buckhead, but that just made me 100% more interested in that fight next week. I want to see, all my English friends, but I want to see Bisping get destroyed.
Is this the one on pay-per-view or just like Fox or FX or something?
This will be Fox. It'll be on Fox next week.
It'll be free. Yep. All I know is that the promos between the two of them are going to be so awesome. I mean,
true.
You're talking about the, well, I guess you could throw a Josh Koscheck in there, but you're talking about two of the three biggest heels in MMA, two of the most hated men in the UFC. And in a way, it's going to be kind of like, it's going to be like when the Freebirds versus Devastation Incorporated, where Chael Sonnen is going to be the babyface by default.
Right.
But I'm glad it got changed because, you know, it would have sucked if he would have lost Munoz.
Because,
you know, Munoz is a good fighter, but, you know, him and Anderson Silva is not going to make no money. So hopefully first he will vanquish the evil British poopster, and then after that he will vanquish the evil Brazilian Portuguese dude who tries to act like he don't speak English, but he does.
Yeah, okay. The fights last weekend were very good. I really enjoyed the fights last weekend. It didn't look like anything on paper, man, but probably two of the best knockouts I've ever seen on a pay-per-view. Just some really good fighting. So if you missed that one, check it out. It's good.
Yeah, Terry Adam got his head knocked all the way back to England.
That was brutal.
That sounds an old-fashioned karate fucking taekwondo kind of a kick or something. It was just
a
total spin kick, hit him square in the face, and the man fell down like he was dead or like a tree or something. Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
You
look at her?
I didn't say anything. Just give me a minute. I'll keep quiet.
Okay. Well, anything else you want to talk about?
I enjoyed Funkasaurus week two. I think he's awesome.
I do too.
And he's doing a bit on SmackDown with William Regal this week, so that should be awesome too.
Oh, wow, the facial expressions that Regal's going to give that guy.
And he's also going to dance.
Oh, man. I'm really enjoying him.
I'm digging the whole Chris Jericho trolling thing.
Me too.
It's funny. He don't have to do anything right now. I mean, he'd probably do something at the Royal Rumble, and then that'll be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone mentioned that he should be like number 30 or come in as number 30 and then celebrate till someone is like, this one person's left. No, he should come in at like number 6 or 5 and just stay out there running around the ring the whole time, no matter what happens.
Go as number 1 and then go through all the stands and start shaking hands and shit like that and getting everybody fired up.
That's not a bad idea.
Then come back and win the match when it's almost over.
And I have to have a jacket like this. I mean, if anyone wants to buy me a birthday present or Christmas present for next year, buy me a Chris Jericho Tron jacket. That's the greatest thing ever.
They need to market those. I bet they can make a lot of money.
Oh,
they'd make a shitload of money. It'd be expensive.
Everybody on the Jersey Shore would have one.
Oh, that'd be awesome. But I'm also highly enjoying my other buddy, Brian Daniels, since you with the Big Show and Mark Henry, and okay. Let's look at the kind of how they're portraying Brian Danielson. They are making him the most chicken shit little heel ever, which normally most people can't pull it off, and it would make him look bad or whatever. But Brian Danielson's so good that he's making it freaking work, and he's just phenomenal. And, you know, the Big Show's been, I mean, the three of them right now are the MVPs of the WWE.
I hope they really keep the belt on him till Mania. There's no reason for him to lose to one of the big men here at Royal Rumble. I hope they keep it on him.
Yeah, I'd like to see, like, Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. I think they have a hell of a match.
That'd be way better than anything, you know, Mark Henry and Orton. I guess we've already seen that. Big Show and Orton. It makes sense. I hope they keep the title on him for a while and let him run this out, because it's good, you know, and it's better than anything they've got going.
Like Edge, where, you know, Edge was just supposed to be a real short-time thing, and then he got it over, you know what I mean? And then they went with him. They still took it off of him, but then went right back to him. And hopefully they will see. I mean, because Danielson is just so, I mean, he's in there with a Big Show of Mark Henry, and he's making him look awesome in the ring, and then, you know, just working with him. And then I got to say, one of the most awesome visuals that I ever seen was when the Big Show was backstage standing next to AJ.
Yeah.
I mean, the difference in size was so incredible. It was like this tiny, tiny, tiny little girl with this giant monster. It looked just like so incredible.
And that angle where she got mowed over by Big Show, I thought that was pretty awesome.
That was great.
Oh, she took a hell of a bump. She made it look good.
I don't know if that was a bump.
It was something. I mean, it looked real, actually. That's what it is.
Yeah,
it looked like she really got run over.
I figured they could have done something like Jericho with Shawn's wife at, like, SummerSlam that year, where he actually punched her in the face. Since that's
that
like Big Show's main move. He's going for Brian. He could duck or something, and she get knocked down.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Here's the thing.
If
she wouldn't get knocked down, she would die.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's no David Otunga. She can't take a punch.
David Otunga.
How about that it's a done deal that Shaquille O'Neal is going to be wrestling the Big Show at Mania?
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
It'll be okay. I can't stand Shaquille, so I'll be cheering for the Big Show.
I say let Triple H put the match together like he did for Mayweather and Big Show, the other wrestling.
Yep. There was nothing wrong with that match.
Yeah.
Wait, Triple H put that match together?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Well, he did a damn good job.
On the day of the show or something. Think he'll put that together. They didn't know what to do.
Yeah. He's the man.
But, WrestleMania is starting to shape up. You got what, Shaquille, Big Show. You're going to have Undertaker, Triple H, rematch, Cena, Rock. You know, hopefully it'll be Bryan against Randy and not Henry against Randy. Hopefully, maybe, you know, they should do Randy and Bryan and then somehow have Mania be a time where Henry makes his face turn. You know, and then give him some other program or something.
They're probably going to do Punk and Jericho.
Yeah, Punk and Jericho will be great.
Yeah.
And stuff. So, yeah, WrestleMania is looking pretty good. I mean, it's I can't wait.
It's gonna be good. I'm excited.
Yeah.
You know, especially since
when the Royal Rumble is what, 2 weeks away, or less than 2 weeks now, right? So
yeah.
I'm looking forward.
It's over a week, really. So
yeah,
that'll be I'll be missing work that day to watch the Royal Rumble like every year. I know we've done one before, but I guess we'll just do a little bit of another retrospective Royal Rumble show again next week.
Okay, sounds good.
So that'll be an easy show to do. And we got 15 minutes here. So let me get.
I'm surprised you asked the question about being in prison. I kind of threw that in there to see if you'd ask.
I did. I just didn't say, what did you go to prison for? I did a very, what's the word, politically correct.
There you go.
Respectfully.
Yeah. See, like, you'll have Brian and Dave, and they'll have opportunities to ask these questions, and they won't even do it respectfully or whatever. They'll just leave it alone, you know. People don't mind talking about stuff like that if you ask them in the right way.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we're better interviewers than Brian Alvarez ever would be.
Okay. Now, if we could only figure out a way to get paid for it.
I know. It sucks that that little asshole gets paid and we don't. Oh, well. Maybe one day. But everyone check out. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, just last thing. Make sure you check out ROH this week. This is the week that they do the big 80-minute, 8-man tag from North Carolina. I've heard it's pretty darn good and something totally different. You don't see these kind of matches anymore, hour-long, full-show matches, and they even had to edit it. So
Did they edit it down 20 minutes, or is it like two parts?
Probably 45 minutes or something like that they edited it down.
I would imagine, yeah. I don't think
it was in that match.
Two parts. Yeah.
Who's in that match?
Yeah, it says after the show they plug the DVD of the entire show, which is a 2-disc set and contains the entire 80-minute match. So I'm sure we just got the end of it. But check that out on ROHWrestling.com.
It's a little bit long for a wrestling match for me.
Yeah, but there's been Iron Man matches that you figure, how in the world am I going to be able to sit through this? And it always seems to work.
Who's in it besides? I know Roddy's in it. Who else is in it?
Let's see. We got Charlie Haas, Shelton Benjamin, Generico, and Eddie Edwards versus Roderick Strong, Michael Elgin, and the Briscoes.
Oh, that's got to be awesome.
Yeah.
The Briscoes. Yeah. Now, Katrina, I know you did like the long Briscoe promo, but Campbell's Chunky one and stuff. But what did you think of the Jay Briscoe going to Hollywood video?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
You check it out. Check it out, dude, because it's them being totally different. It's them actually just trying to be funny and comedy, and it's actually pretty fucking hilarious. And,
yeah, it's good stuff.
You know, it's funny because Jay Briscoe, he's an awesome promo, and he does 95% of the interviews, but Jay Briscoe will fill the show with just one line in every interview. Everybody eat chicken, or the be there at 7 o'clock. Tickets are $10, $15, $20. I don't know. I'm not the ticket lady. That was fucking, I was just rolling and rolling and rolling. But anyway, let me get back to the friends I've been trying to do here for a while.
Everyone,
check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com, along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Marks Show, the O Show, and I want to look at my Peter show, but I forgot it. There's an MMA show by Peter H. that's pretty decent.
Yeah.
Check it out. I think they had Whitney on last week and stuff. And so everyone check out angrymarks.com. So we got 10 minutes, so we'll go ahead and get our final whatever things we want to talk about. So, Craig, anything?
Not much. I'm really looking forward to having a hot meal. First one of the day. That's pretty much all I got to say.
Well, that's pretty cool. And then some home cooking, too.
Absolutely. Mama's downstairs making pork chops right now.
Oh, man. Sounds good. I wish I was in the middle of the apocalypse.
I'm hoping I can get back to work fairly soon because I'm going a little cabin fever, I think they call it. I'm tired of being at home. Anyway, so, yeah.
Oh, you could go to Brian's and do little op jobs.
No.
You know what you can do? You can go to Granny's and program her VCR for her.
That's it's really, really bad up there. Brian's, I called out Brian on his website saying there's going to expect a huge rant from him. And you know if I didn't say anything about the rant, he would have just blown his top during his radio shows because that's what he does. So if somebody calls him on something, then he's like, well, just because you want me to do it, now I'm not. So, yeah, they got blasted, and he ended up having to walk to the store the other day because he's not a man and can't drive in the snow. can't drive, period, but that's another story for another time. But yeah, they got hit hard, so they're gonna take a few days to thaw out up there in the closer to the Seattle area.
At least he got power. He put up a couple of shows today.
Yeah, I don't know if he I don't know if they did that at his house. He could have done them at Tony's as well, but yeah, I hope they have power. It sucks, man, when it's cold like this and no power. It's gonna be down in the teens tonight.
Yeah. Katrina, you got anything? Any last parting words or comments or things you want to talk about before we go?
Yeah, I hooked my iPhone up to my computer to sync it with iTunes so I could because they've got like a 20 megabyte limit, like on the 3G
right.
thing where you can't download like more than 20 megabytes over 3G. So I had to hook it to my computer, and I don't know what happened, but it erased all my apps that I had on my phone, on my games.
Oh, dude, you got to start on Angry Birds all over again? Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
every one of my games that I'd, like, gotten far on, I just had to start all over again. I didn't have to, I just had to re-download all of them. I didn't have to, like, pay for it again, but did you see the Angry Birds update today?
No.
I'm going to look for it now.
Which one?
Seasons. I think there were 15
okay.
new levels up today.
Oh, good. Because
cool.
I've been playing that thing all day.
Have you?
Well, yeah, we don't have any power.
Oh, well.
So you almost missed the show because your phone was going to die because you're too busy playing Angry Birds. Okay.
Well, I was playing on my iPad, but yeah, my phone was almost.
Okay.
My phone was dead when I pulled into my parents' driveway here, but. It's getting charged now, so.
Cool. Well, I don't really have too much to talk about other than I've been hitting the gym every day for the last couple of weeks, so. Unlike Craig, Craig will be by far the biggest guy at WrestleMania this year, and I'm going to be pretty damn buff.
I actually do have a comment on that. They have a thing at my work where you have to do a certain number of points to get these wellness points to qualify for a discount on your insurance. So I got suckered into doing the Biggest Loser competition. So starting tomorrow, after Mama's Pork Chops, I am going to be walking with Straight and Narrow for about 12 weeks. So,
poor bastard.
I'm very sad. But yeah, I will achieve, Mr. Laredo. I will achieve.
Yeah, but I still look better than you.
Doubtful.
I'm a damn handsome man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I think every time I see you. God, that's a good looking fella right there.
And I know you do. It's very untouchable for me.
Oh yeah. Anyway, end the show, Ed. Let's get out of here.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and show early. So everyone come back next week. We should be back on Friday, and unless something big happens, we will be more than likely doing our retrospective Royal Rumble show. And yes, Rover, we've done it before, so shut the fuck up and listen to it like you're going to listen to it anyway. Okay. And haphazard, apologize for the sound quality of the show. It's just how it worked out today. And
listens to the show wrong. It's his fault.
No, it's this horrible phone that I'm on.
Oh.
Well, today. But
yeah.
Other than that, we'll work on it. And, well, like I said, come back next Friday. We'll be back regular time, so everybody come back then. And I will leave you all with... What the hell's the damn theme song? There's so much stuff on here.
You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the merchant shit! Let's go hook him up! What?
I'm going to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.